Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Mahotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and of course, it is always wonderful to be here with you live and in living color. Well, today, of course, was in fact the day that we commemorated Mumia Abdul-Jamal's 67th day of being on the planet, in terms of the year, rather, of being on this planet. And with that, there was, in fact, a rally that took place here in Philadelphia. It was very interesting for me. I'm used to seeing larger crowds for Mumia, and I would thought that, you know, particularly now, with all that's going on with his heart and the fact that the Moon family have all been released, certainly I would have just thought that we definitely would have been seeing more people out there today. It was a good crowd, don't get me wrong. It was a very good crowd. But it never ceases to amaze me that Philadelphia black folks tend to really just show who they really are. And today, as far as I'm concerned, certainly exemplified that some more. Folks came in from New York. They came in from Boston, California, you name it. So again, you would think, oh, Chairman Fred was here from Chicago. Again, you would think that folks right here in Philly, a few blocks away, would have felt the necessity to come out and support, show their support, certainly make some kind of pledge of doing something, and what have you. Well, that didn't happen. Again, it was a very good crowd. It was a powerful, powerful rally, needless to say. But Philadelphia black folks were, again, M.I.A., missing in action, okay? And so, you know, again, I'm from Philly, so I'm used to seeing that. But now others can begin to not only see it, but have a better understanding of it. Again, big shout out to those who did come out. Dr. McIntosh, Sister Nikki, who's going to be joining us shortly. Again, Brother Kazi from Boston. I think there were some folks even from Atlanta. My point is, when do we stand up for those who stood up for us? And particularly in their time of real need. And right now, Mumia has always needed our support, and what, but right now it is extremely, extremely critical and important. And again, I have to say, when it comes to Philly black folks, well, what can I say? Anyway, family, we want to thank all of you for tuning in tonight. Again, it was a powerful day. I'm pumped up about it. And very thankful to have been a part of it. The speakers were great. Big shout out to Dr. Alvarez, who joined us for the Umoja Unity Circle. That was incredible. I missed most of it, but hopefully, well, I know a lot of you did register, so we're definitely thankful for that. Baba Bilal Sunni Ali was on that for today. And literally, maybe next week I'll have it. I wasn't able to download it for our program for tonight, but he literally wrote something for Mumia. And so, again, I'm going to try to have that ready for you all for next week to download that for you. We're going to do an open mic shortly because I really want to get your views on the verdict is in. The verdict is in. Now what? I want to also get your thoughts about some of the latest murders. There's been several in the past week. Of course, of a 15/16-year-old. I'm not sure of the exact age because I keep getting different reports. But the bottom line is a young, very young female, black female is now dead. I've seen different footage, but the point and the question still remains. Well, I would like to hear what you, some of your views are about what you've heard and some of what we think we saw. We're going to also talk about a brother in Virginia who, of course, was also shot because the cop thought he had a gun when he had a phone in his hand. Again, a phone? A phone. Anyway, we're going to talk about that a little later on as well. Big shout-out to Keisha and Brother Mike. Again, the latest edition of Community Talk is available. So, of course, you can just go to YouTube and check that out. And, of course, you can always catch Thorough Black Talk. They're doing just such a wonderful job over there, Thorough Black Talk, with really showing you, presenting you the kinds of information. So it's not just talk. I mean, it is, but, you know, for you to maybe see for yourself certain things, you know, that's really a plus. And that's what time it is. Oh, by the way, speaking of time, we are now in the 13th year of New Day Resurrection Liberation. Yep, the 13th year. So now we're going to up our game as well. And we're looking to come to YouTube soon as well as Patreon. So look for that very soon. In the meantime, you can now become a member of New Day if you like, a support member. And I'll tell you more about that a little later on because we do we are looking at kind of developing what are we calling it some kind of station no is another word, it'll come to me in a few moments, but anyway, we really want to step things up and really become even more qualitative with what we're able to present to you. Okay, so we'll tell you more about that a little later on also. We're hoping to talk with Sister Carell. And she, of course, is the sister who won the lawsuit recently in Buffalo. We are supposed to have her to call in, but I did not get the confirmation yet. I hope to get that shortly. Let's see. What else did I want to mention? Oh, yeah, Monday. Monday, there's going to be a press conference. And the press conference, I'm going to tell you, I talked to Sister Janine and Janet earlier today at the rally, and, you know, it was bad enough that they both served 40 years in prison. And now to come home to find or to learn, and again, I did not know that they did not know. I mean, they just learned that the remains of their children, of new members, had been at the University of Pennsylvania all this time, since 1985. And again, I thought that they, I don't know why I thought that they knew that something was there, but they didn't know at all this time. And so Monday there is a press conference to address that issue. And it's interesting because we had said over this past year that the bombing was going to be one of the cases or one of the situations that we will be citing when we present the We Charge Genocide 21 petition. Now, note, we're not presenting the petition now, but this year we will present the letter of intent. And we were out there today getting signatures. Big ups to Baba Yao, who's always on point and has helped us to get, you know, a whole lot of signatures and family. We're hoping that you all will be the same. We hope that folks will at least commit to getting 10 signatures. 10! Come on! So please email us. You can get the form that we have, and we're working on a new website. We found a brother who is going to literally create a website for us that's going to be a lot more expansive and extensive than what we have now. So give us another few days for that, but definitely by next Saturday we should have the new We Charge Genocide 21 website ready for you. So you'll be able to go there and add your name to the letter of intent. The letter of intent, we will take that along with the million signatures to the United Nations in December. That will mark, of course, the 70th year commemoration of Paul Robeson taking the We Charge Genocide petition there 70 years ago on December 17, 1951. But it will also be our own campaign in charging this government with 21 counts, at least 21 counts, of genocide. So again, we will in the next couple of years do various forums as well as kinds of testimonials and so forth in various communities, as well as, of course, online, so that we can start documenting the kinds of information that we need to present to UN officials. And for those who are like, why are you doing that? Look, just keep it moving, because we know what we're doing, and we know why. And we know to what extent what we are going to expect, all that. We already know all that, all right? But best believe, if folks didn't do certain things prior to now, we wouldn't even be having this conversation, okay? So get with the program or just shut up, please. I'm really, really sick of it. Anyway, moving right along. Again, Monday, 11 o'clock. I do not have information about the how you're going to be able to see it yet. I should have that tomorrow, and as soon as we do, we will post that. It will be on YouTube. We think Sister Pam said it was going to be on YouTube and a live stream on Facebook. But again, I cannot tell you specifically yet where that's going to be. Getting back to Mumia, Dr. Alvarez, did have a chance to talk with him today, and he made it very clear that the hospital is not being cooperative in terms of letting him see Mumia. Mumia did talk to Wadia, his wife, and I believe Sister Pam. He is doing okay, as okay as he can do with open heart surgery. But the issue of the shackling is still an issue. For what we know, we cannot confirm that this still has not been removed, that he could possibly still be shackled. And because they will not let anyone see him, we cannot confirm that he isn't, okay? At any rate, we should hopefully have some more information for you on Monday. Okay, the next thing, let's see, what else did we want to share with you? The next thing we wanted to bring to your attention, let me just check something real quick. Okay, I got that. Okay, there we go. Okay, the next thing we wanted to bring to your attention was that the Human Rights Commission did, in fact, release a report. For those of you who have not heard of that, we're going to read a little bit of that for you a little later on. They did indicate in the report that the shackling of prisoners was, in fact, unacceptable. And they did, say that they were definitely against it. And so, again, the We Charge Genocide 21 is definitely on point. And so now we have even more ammunition in that we can cite that the cruel and unusual punishment of our political prisoners is something that the world is becoming more aware of. And, the Human Rights Commission at the UN is also agreeing that this is, certainly not only inappropriate, but should not be happening. Okay, so with that said, by the way, I want everyone to know that next week we should have Dr. McIntosh joining us. Of course, there is a group that he helped to put together that Sister Pam had asked him to do in conjunction with Dr. Alvarez. And so in terms of Mumia, that is, And so we will be getting a report from him next week on exactly what that particular committee is doing or has been doing and is presently doing. So look forward to that for next week. And let me see, what else was it that I wanted to mention to you all? Okay, I was waiting for Sister Vicky to call in to kind of just give us her view of what she saw today in terms of the rally, because as I said, she was there, Sister Nikki, that is, she was there. And so what I'm going to do is open up the lines for you all, family, and I'd like to get your views on two things. One, the verdict. What are your thoughts about the verdict? And two, what are your thoughts about the move situation, meaning the University of Pennsylvania kept, remained of the move family since 1985 and was teaching a class, an anatomy class or some class. I'll look it up in a few minutes. I'm still just, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. It doesn't, even though we know how vicious these people are. But to keep the remains and then have classes using the remains and you not have these people, our people at rest, you not allow the family to be able to have, I would really like to know what you all think about that, because that right there, I mean, that goes lower than low. You're desecrating bodies. I mean, you're literally doing something okay, press one now if you have a comment about, again, the verdict, what's next about the recent murders of our people by cops, and third, the Moo family having learned this week that their family remains was kept from them all these years and was used as part of a study. What are your thoughts about their family? Please press one now and let us know. Okay? Okay, let me see what we got here. Ah, okay, nobody has any comments about any of that. I'm looking and doesn't seem like, oh, okay, here we go. All right, we're going to go to caller at 1-933. Your mic is open. Welcome to the segment, A New Day. 1-933. We're not hearing you.
Yes, greetings, sister.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now.
Okay. Okay, great. Greetings, sister, and greetings to your listening audience. That situation was very, extremely upsetting. The people's remains, you know, the remains of children, it really got to me. The bottom line of whoever has it between those two universities, it should never have been released from the medical examiner's office without written consent, period. You know, wherever it is, you know, and I think that that's where the pressure will need to be applied, because that is where it's at. And just from my own personal experience, how can I put it? I had an opportunity to look at a lot of the various agencies in preparation for us going on to implementing HIPAA. And for whatever reason, that particular piece of the IRB, which is what's required when you do any type of research, I was immediately pulled off of that project or that particular group. So I wanted to make certain that I shared that because I'm sorry, that's where the fingers, that's who would have to have released that data or that, oh my God, remains. It's even hard to, I mean, you know, I know how something like that is. That's all you have of your loved ones, especially children. That's reprehensible. That's all I can say.
Sister Sheila, I want you to stay right there because I'm for those who don't know what we're talking about, I want to kind of give you what it is we're saying. This article came from MSN, was reprinted by The Guardian, and this was one of the articles that was recommended by Sister Pam. It says, the bones of black children who died in 1985 after their home was bombed by Philadelphia police in a confrontation with the Black Liberation Group, which was raising them, are being used as a case study, and that's in parentheses, a case study in an online forensic anthropology course presented by an Ivy League professor. It has emerged that the physical remains of one or possibly two of the children who were killed in the aerial bombing of the MOVE organization in May 1985 have been guarded over the past 36 years in the anthropological collection of University of Pennsylvania and Princeton. The institutions have held on to the heavily burned fragments and since 2019 have been deploying them for teaching purposes without the permission of the deceased living parents. I'm going to stop right there.
Yeah.
Family.
I've never.
That's some deep stuff.
Yeah.
That's some
it
deep
is.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And the family deserves to be able to have the remains of their loved ones, period.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure they're going to get it now, but we're talking about 36 years. So, you know, it's they're going to get it now because it's exposed, it's out there, and so forth and so on. But somebody has to be held accountable for 36 years of holding those remains.
Mm-hmm. And,
so, again, let me see what Phil – see, I've been watching all of this for years, as I tell people. I'm blessed to have been there to see some of these things when it actually happened. And now we're going to see for Philadelphia what black folks is going to stand up. Now this is going to be interesting because somebody needs to be punished on this one, for real. By the way, family, we said some months back that, again, we were citing the MOVE bombing or the bombing of MOVE and a whole block, meaning the destruction of an entire block. I think 64 homes went up in flames, okay? We are using that or presenting that to the United Nations when we present the We Charge Genocide information. Now, the thing that we were working on and now we definitely are going to bring forward is the International Independent Committee or Commission on the Philadelphia bombing of Osage Avenue. Now, in 1986, a commission was put together in Philadelphia to review, the whole thing about the bombing. So what this independent commission is now going to do is review all of that and make a decision on what needs to happen now. It's independent. The MOVE, they called it the MOVE Commission in 1986. That was put together by the city. And even though it included, you know, well-known people, my beloved Father Paul Washington was one, of course, but it was put together by the city, and there was no findings to the degree that was to indict the Philadelphia police or the fire department. No one was indicted. No one went to jail but Sister Ramona, who maxed out, even though they made her a deal that said, oh, you can get out early if you say you're not going to be involved with Move. And she told me, okay. My point is, we are now that we're putting together an independent commission to examine and review and make a real clear decision on what needs to happen now. And family, this is national. This is not just Philadelphia. So if any of you are interested, by all means, we welcome you. And the reason is because this is not just about Philadelphia. You got it. I know you know that by now. That bombing was not, I mean, yeah, it happened in Philly, but that went around the world. And we're citing it as genocide. So we invite anyone that's interested to be a part of that commission. That commission is going to be responsible for reviewing all of the records, the documents, the reports, and all of that that came out of the so-called Move Bombing Commission that the city of Philadelphia put together. We're going to tear that apart and write our own report of that, and then our own report of whatever, including what's going on now. So I'll tell you more about that later. So, Sister Sheila,
yes.
I can tell that you are feeling what I felt. I saw Sister Janet and Janine today, and I'm telling you, you know, the pain that I felt coming from them, I had to really, like, just chill for a moment.
Yes, that's very upsetting. And, you know, when I was talking IRB, that's like the Institutional Review Board, which deals with the ethics of any research that's being done, which requires consent. So it's like, I guess, the 60s, a couple of, you know, all the stuff that's happened. So, I mean, studying these remains for what purpose? Has that been...
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the questions that we now have to raise. But see, again, who, you know, we know the family is going to raise that question without a shadow of a doubt. And so if we're going to take their lead. We're going to follow their lead on that. But again, Black folks need to be saying something. Okay?
Yes. What if it's their loved one? Would they want their loved one prodded and put under microscopes without their permission? Yeah. You know, Fannie Lou Hamer, I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm serious.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Well, we should have been that, but this is what I always tell. Mama Gail called me earlier and gave me a lot of good information, as she always does. And I said to her, I said, Mama Gail, you know, thank you for the information, but I'm at the point now where I have to ask people, so what's our plan? Because if we're not talking about what we're going to do or try to do, then, you know, it's what? At this stage of the game.
Yes. I agree. 100%.
You see?
I mean...
That's why when we have these conversations, I have to at least introduce some possibilities of what the action plan should be, need to be, or what have you. Because other than that, it's just yapping our gums.
Right. That's right.
We got to do more. Yeah. We got to do better.
And the action plan as it relates to this should be, one, making sure it's put in writing, you know, and citing the specific ethical, scientific stuff, okay, and asking that pertinent question, for what purpose, you know,
yeah,
along
that
with,
too. That too.
And, Yeah, because I can't understand it. I mean, all of this stuff about DNA and RNA, I don't really understand it all, but I do know that, you know, people like Jeffrey Epstein was collecting it, DNA, you know, and I know all of these ancestries and whatever are collecting it, and I don't know scientifically, you know, so I think to have a scientific type person on this commission would be really important. That's just my input, you know, thought, you know, but that whole situation is completely unethical, period.
Yeah.
And this is about
right,
where... All right, sis, I just...
Yeah, and I know, and this is, stay right here. I just want to bring another view in, but stay right there. Caller, you are at 9498, and your mic is open. Welcome to the segment, A New Day.
Sister Filet, how you feel?
Oh, greetings, Brother Ray Ray. How are you?
Hello, Sister Filet. Hello, Philadelphia. How y'all feel? Good to see that y'all had the march from Omia. It doesn't surprise me as you brought up the Guardian. I really like to know how the Guardian got the information, but it's sure sitting here, and it's a good read.
Yep.
It's definitely a good read on forensics and them trying to piece together with their wicked mind. But what's really interesting is with the computer, 500-year-old bones of African slaves, anthropologists found three young African men in a 500-year-old grave in Mexico City, 17th-century bones traced to African homeland, DNA analysis trace Africans back to their roots. It's the missing bones of former slaves.
Mm.
What about the African burial grounds?
Mm-hmm.
When they uncovered that, and the scientists went crazy wanting to piece together, you know. And it doesn't surprise me on how they want to just start digging and digging in us, you know.
Mm.
And it comes out now.
Yeah.
It's not,
36 years, though, Brother Ray Ray. I mean,
it's 36,
you know, it's bad enough.
I believe it's been happening before. It's been happening since they brought us here. It's been happening in Africa with the Europeans just studying the greatness of people. And then all of a sudden somebody leaking it out at a time with Momia.
Mm.
At a time with Momia and everything, now they're going to leak this out. Nobody knew about it. They kept quiet. As Boule-ish as Philadelphia is. And I just started reading the book that Ebony and Ivory, The Colleges and Slavery.
Mm.
You know, I only got to a few pages. I haven't read it. I try to read a little bit of it. But it really doesn't surprise me on what you're saying, you know. Just reading Tuskegee, Experimentation,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Greatness. Those were some great people. The MOVE organization was not playing. They, you know, so it doesn't surprise me. I believe it's more stuff that's going to come up with DNA and just digging and digging and digging in, just digging into us, digging into us. Like you said before, the body parts, the missing body parts, the missing children, the selling. even before Jeffrey, whoever's name, Epstein and all that. Them
right.
folks is
right.
the devil. Elijah Muhammad said they're the devil.
Mm-hmm. Well, this definitely.
Somebody knew about it and did not say nothing if they was doing studies in
That's
the university.
Right. That's right.
And kept it
quiet. So oh my gosh! I mean, we know what to expect, but it's still when
no
you hear
black
it
person,
and,
somebody black knew about that stuff and kept their mouth shut, and somebody had enough guts to sneak it out. And the Guardian and other, and it's a whole bunch. Once you put it in there, it's a lot of newspapers that got it. A lot of the underground newspapers.
Yeah. Oh, it was first seen in the Philadelphia newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Philadelphia, the Daily Mule got it. The Guardian, Politico.
Yeah.
All in forensic science and anthropology.
When Sister Pam called me, I mean, you know, needless to say, she was so upset. And, this, again, just demonstrates. It's interesting how the Moo family tends to bring out certain things that we know, obviously, but it kind of gets real heightened or real clear or a lot clearer. They tend to have that capability, just as with Mumia. The issue of hepatitis C. People knew that people in prison had hepatitis C, but it wasn't until Mumia and, of course, the support that he has that was able to be magnified, you know, and as a result, others was able to get that treatment. So, so we need to really better understand or have a better understanding of certain things. Brother Ray,
I just want to say one more thing. It also says in the read, the forensic anthropology course in which the bones of a Move child was being used as almost 5,000 enrolled students.
Mm-hmm.
It was filmed in February 2000, taught by Janine Monge, an adjacent professor of anthropology at the University of Pennsylvania, and a visiting professor in the same subject at Princeton.
Yep.
So that book that I'm reading, Ebony and Ivory, about the colleges and slavery, I'm going to see who this Janet Monge is, you know, but it doesn't surprise me at all. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Brother Ray Ray, and Sister Sheila. Again, thank you both for your comments, your thoughts, and again, ditto. I mean, we're right on point with that. And yes, Sister Sheila, you're absolutely correct. They've got to put in writing what was they looking for. I mean, what was the real purpose of this, that has to be conveyed. It has to be. We got to see and hear what they're saying that justified or that gave them. First of all, they had no right. Let's do that one first. They had no right to do that. Period.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. They had no right.
You know, and if it were to come back as, you know, for some sort of future benefit, you know, what's the benefit to making, because that's traumatizing to me. I mean, just to even
I'm telling you, yes. You know, all right, family, stay right there. We're going to bring our sister, Nikki, in, who came from New York today. And was at the rally, the first part of the rally over at City Hall, which was just wonderful in terms of just the energy and the kinds of camaraderie. And I'm going to say this, the majority of the black folks that I saw there, they were not from Philly. Now explain that to me, y'all. Please. the majority of the black folks that I saw today were not from Philly. They had black folks that came in with groups, just as the Brother Alton Maddox used to bring in a busload. You had people that came today with some busloads, not from Philly. I just want to put that out there to y'all, because from now on, I don't want anybody saying anything to me about certain things in this city. Don't tell me you about some black stuff, please. Please. Anyway, stay right there. And by the way, I know COVID is going on, so you get a pass for that one. However, they had three Zoom things going on yesterday, tomorrow. So maybe, yeah, two things. So did the Negroes participate in that? Anyway, let's go to Sister Mickey. I want to give some other view on today's gathering. And again, where do we go from here? As black folks, where do we go from here when it talks about freeing Mumia and our political prisoners? Our political prisoners. These are people that stood up for us. Anyway, all right, let me open up this line. Hey, sis, how you be tonight? We finally got you.
Yes, peace, love, and light. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. Oh, wonderful.
I will continue a little from what Ray Ray was saying. Hiding evidence, bones of children, would be what they were doing. Also, to study the bones of people that have survived because of their vegan, because of their ability to survive. Because remember, the beasts firebombed. They water, fire, and they still survive. So you know what? Let's study this. Because all that we did, and they still there in their right minds and their right bodies. So we want to study that. We are doing DNA testing. That's what that was. That's the reason they stole those bones. That's the only thing that makes sense upon hearing that. Insult. I mean, that is genocide again. You know, we murder you, and then we have to study the reason why you survived. I'm going to calm down from that, you know, and you can take it every which way, and that is the only thing. He also spoke on the colleges, you know, the building for Harvard was for Native Americans, Afro descendants, right, indigenous people here. People donated, and that was one of the first buildings, and not one Native American ever set foot in that building. That's other part of ebony and ivory. Yes, that's what we need to know. Our blood, sweat, and tears of our ancestors built every single institution, black and white. But yet, if you not skip the truth gates and some others, you may never see the insides of the institution. If you, yes, Sambo, Tom, yeah, most likely you will get in there. But that's another story. Freedom is the only solution for Mumia, for every one of the freedom fighters. And it does not end until we win. And we're winning,
that's
because
right.
That would be the reason why they're shutting down the Facebook. That's why they're shutting down. You live streaming. You're watching the event. And they shutting it down. That's the reason why they would Zoom bomb, disrespect our elders. This is the reason why they're tuning in. Oh, let me get your email. Let me do this. And they're sabotaging things. Oh, you know, here it is. And that's my take. Now, you know, if you said, let's have a party in Philly, everybody would have showed up. They would have paid their little $22, got on Mega Bus. They would have got on every Trailways. They would have swam. They would have walked to Philly. As long as you said it was a party, you know, and let's smoke a little, drink a little. I don't want to hear nothing about no pandemic because they lined up to get their nails throughout the entire scamdemic, the colonial virus. Let's be 100, okay? They could get out there. They get out there for everything else. I didn't see pregnancy stop yet. You understand? So it's an excuse. It's an excuse. They wasn't doing shit before this. So we can't sit here and say, it's the pet. No, okay? Some folks, they was doing the work before, during, and after. So I don't want to hear it. Because as soon as something happened and they break a fingernail and somebody come to snatch one of their children, they be the first one knocking on your door. They be right there. What's up? What's going on? You know, I've been there the whole time. Where? Okay? In every city. They had something. Let's not make excuses. I'm sorry. Yep. And I said it. And I've said it for years. I'm sitting there. You know, something came across, I don't know, a video came up on my live, you know. My 100-year-old grandmother was dancing. And the youth, without the youth, we can't do it. Without the youth, you know. And I sat there and I said, you know, there is a reason they want to tie people up. And, okay, not everybody can be there. Not everybody. I can't hold everybody. Some people have issues and problems. They have other things. They're trying to eat. There are people that have that going on. You know, so they're doing the best they can. So let's not misunderstand that. I understand that. But, you know, some of them shuffling and jiving and they're scared to leave their corners too. You know, and I praise them for their good thoughts. The ones that are calling in, the ones that have paid their bill. Some people, their cell phone has cut off. So I know that we have people that do have issues. So, you know.
Right.
And to them, I say love, peace, and strength. Because our worst day, as my mentor would say at CMOTAP, our worst day, the slaves would pray for. Because it's no comparison, all right? And under the conditions that Garvey had, under the conditions that Ida B. Wells had and so forth, don't tell me you can't send a flyer, you can't share on your social media, you can't put a picture up, snapshot, something for me? If you do have your phone on, come on now. You can show your nails on. I mean, they every excuse. There are no excuses. Because if I waited on them, I'd be going on the plantation. And I remember another mentor, Brother Alton Maddox, said, if you see everybody running north, go south. They will put me back on the plantation. And I truly believe that.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
We have to think outside the box. I am grateful for the honorable mentors at CMOTAP. I am truly glad for them and many others, the UNIA. And I still say, as they were out, freedom is the only solution, and we do not stop until they win. When every last one of the BLA and the Black Panthers are home, Mumia is free, okay? When he's physically here, then I can comprehend that. And when you have anything with your heart, I'm saying you must rest. You need 6 weeks for that muscle. You need at least, with all that he has going on, you know, his therapy will be different. So even here, he's walking around. He better not walk, but around his bed, because it's too soon. Too soon. You must move.
Right.
Yes, if you can, get up and go to the bathroom. But that's about it. Okay? You know, most people catch their second problem where they need stents because they're trying to do what they did before their first problem. Mm-hmm. And that we can't handle that. I'm not trying to bury the brother, okay? You have to be Superman to say that you had surgery and you up and walking around. What? But I know it's in love and best wishes that people that don't know would say such a thing. You know, they're saying that because of the coverage and that's what they're being told. But I know a little something in that area. And I also was going to speak on insurance companies. Most of the insurance companies. Yes.
I need you to hold that point because
yes.
because I was trying to get you on earlier, but we now have the sister that I need to bring in, but I want you to
not
stay there. We're going to
bring
come back
in.
To you.
Peace, love,
okay,
and freedom is the only solution. That's it. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Okay,
peace
we're going to bring in
I had
sister.
My time.
Cario, we're going to bring – no, I want you to come back, though, but I need to bring Sister Cario Horn in. That's the sister
okay.
that we were looking to have
yes,
last
I know who
week.
It is. I know who it is. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. I don't want to miss her this week because she was in queue last week, but I couldn't see it because, you know,
right.
I need people to press one, et cetera. But anyway, we have her now. So hold on right there, family. We're going to bring this sister in. Because we are so proud of her and the work that she's done as a black
mm-hmm.
woman. Okay, greetings, my sisters. How are you? And I think we have Sister Patricia with us also.
Yes.
Yeah, we're here.
All right. Finally. Good day. Well, welcome.
Peace, love, and thank
you power,
so everybody.
Much.
Peace, love, yes. and power. So you to be here. So happy. To hear your voice
yes.
again. It's been a minute.
Yes. And as you heard, we had a wonderful gathering today in regards to our brother Mumia Abu-Jamal's Earth Day
yes.
and certainly now the mission at hand to have him free. Now, what I'm going to need you to do, though, y'all going to have to be still because any sounds that you're making is going to come through. Because your phone is now like a microphone.
Gotcha.
So be cognizant of any sounds that you're making. It's going to create a distraction. Okay. So that's Sister Patricia that we're talking with. So let's bring in our sister. Sister Patricia, did you want to introduce our sister?
Of course. This is my hero. You know, my sister, you know, a woman who I look up to and I admire her resilience, her tenacity, her strength, her power. I mean, she is a woman's woman, and I'm so grateful for who she is, and I'm grateful for the path that God has on. So without further ado, Sister Cario Horn is right here with us tonight.
Leo, hello.
Yes.
How are y'all doing?
My sister. Oh, wonderful. Much better now that we have you with us. Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Oh,
thank you for having me.
Oh, indeed. And by the way, family, I have asked our sister to be one of our speakers for this year's Million Woman March 24. Now, we're hoping to do something physically, but if not, we'll definitely do it virtually. So either way it goes, she will be one of our feature presenters. And we're going to not just talk about, the issues at hand, which is police and governmental terrorism. We're going to talk about, for sisters, we have the Black Women's Defense League. It actually is the Black Women's Defense and Justice Leagues. And we will be teaching, training, not just the physical self-defense, but the mental and the spiritual self-defense. And so with sisters like Cario, we will now know what our rights are. For those who don't know, we're going to get one-on-one kinds of information, insight, and what to do, how to do it. That's what we need. So my sister, again, thank you so much for joining us. And let's go into, for those who don't know, let's go into what has happened. Let's not talk about the recent development, but please give some history of who you are and of course, the incredible courage, as far as we're concerned, that you exemplified. So let's share with our family, you know, what happened. What was it, 2006?
Yeah, in 2006, I answered a officer in trouble call. And when I got there, the officer was punching a handcuffed man in the face. So I didn't do anything at that point because I didn't know what had happened. All I knew was that the officers had called for assistance. And so when I helped get him outside, then, you know, I was on my way to my patrol car, but they were in front of me. So then he just stopped, twisted him around, grabbed him in a neck hold, choke hold, and then he started choking him. So I yelled to him, I said, "Greg, you're choking him," because I said, "Well, his adrenaline must be going. He don't know what he's doing, so let me just bring him back to reality." And he didn't stop. So I grabbed his arm from around Neil Mack's neck. But when they got finished with the story, I had twist, push. I did all kinds of stuff they said that they made up. And then, you know, even though he punched me in the face, because after I grabbed his arm from around his neck, he punched me in the face, I wanted to press charges, and they wouldn't allow me to. So then I had to face charges, and then I was terminated after a hearing, a kangaroo court pretty much, but it was administrative hearing. And I was fired.
Wow. Okay. So now, since 2006, tell us about some of the court proceedings and just some of the other things that you had to do to bring us up to this point.
Well, after that, because before the hearing, they wanted to offer me 10-day suspension, and I refused to take 10 days for something that I did not do. And I asked, like, why can't he get 10 days? He's the one that was choking, you know, a handcuffed person. And they were like, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do anything. So in the meantime, he got promoted. And then after that, you know, he continued to beat on people, even choking a officer that was on duty. And he finally got charged federally when he slammed the heads of four boys into the patrol car. And he wound up going to jail for 4 months. But he still got his pension.
Wow.
And then he had the nerve to claim PTSD and say that I caused it. Which I guess maybe I might have caused it because he was getting away with it until I said something. So that would make sense.
Wow.
So then after that, then, you know, I didn't want another officer to go through what I had gone through. So I wrote out Cario's Law. I just didn't know how to get it into a law. People would, like, promise me that they would help, and they didn't. So I sat on it until I saw George Floyd get killed. And then I basically was, like, trying to do this video, but I kept crying because I was like, man, he didn't have to die. Like, I have the solution, you know. So that's when I just, like, found someone to help me write it so that it could be presented the correct way. And then it was passed by the council, and then, like, a month later, the mayor signed it. So it is a law now in Buffalo, New York, that you have the duty to intervene. And the lawyers used my own law to help me get back my pension.
Great. So what we would like to do is to have you assist us in terms of the Black Women's Defense and Justice League so that we can introduce that legislation to other city councils
And they need to, of course, hire you as a consultant. And so we want to talk with you more about that later on this week. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we want to talk later on this week about how we can begin to, you know, to draft that, to formulate that. Because a lot of times people are talking about president leave, police reform, and all of that. Well, that's fine. But right here, right now, this is something that can be presented to at least begin doing something. It has already been proven to work, okay? And so
exactly.
We shall make it easier.
Yep.
Go ahead, sister. Yep.
So the way that it's written, there's six components to it. The city did not adopt a registry, but it's very important to adopt a registry because we don't want officers hopping from one city or state to another one if they're a bad officer.
Yeah.
So there needs to be a nationwide registry, like a sex registry, a sex offenders registry.
Yeah.
So it needs to be amended here, and, you know, hopefully when we present it to other cities and states, that they will adopt it as it's written.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So of course, you know, we have our brother Mike Graves, and he's with 100 black men and women
black
law enforcement. 100 black men.
Yeah.
Right. So we will talk with them to see if we can get them to sign on to this national campaign whereby we are, you know, looking, having city council people or whoever, public safety committees or what have you, to examine this legislation and adopt it. This is doable.
Exactly.
This don't take rocket science. It don't take no whole lot.
Exactly.
Just like one of the things that we're also submitting very soon as a part of our We Charge Genocide is that cities need to formulate something dealing with slavery disclosure. That's easy.
What is slavery disclosure?
It started a few years ago. One of our sisters, who's one of our advisors, by the way, she's a lawyer. She teaches law primarily, but she does a tremendous amount of research. Kudos to Sister Deidre. Anyway, she began to research different things, and ultimately from her research, which really helped to bring greater attention to the corporations that were involved in the transatlantic slave trade, and she was one of the first to file against Wachovia and Aetna that were insurance companies. Anyway, so from her doing that work, cities began to put legislation in, and Chicago was the first. The legislation is this. If you are a company who has a parent company, or if your company has had any kind of connection to slavery, you have to disclose that if you try to do business with that city. So it's a slavery disclosure. Legislation and act. Philadelphia now has it. L.A. has it. Chicago has it. And about maybe seven other cities presently. So what we're doing with the We Charge Genocide is we're really pushing that envelope now. We want every major city to adopt it.
So if you know that this company has been involved in slavery, then what do you do from that point?
Well, that city can make whatever determination they want to make, but the first step is you have to disclose that. So
what about this modern day slavery? So what about the modern day slavery, the justice system?
Well, the first thing is first. How the slavery disclosure situation came about was from the transatlantic slave trade. So you first have to get one thing on the books, as you, I'm sure you know, having worked in law enforcement. That had never been done before. So you have to start with something. And so what it is, it begins to give us information that enables us to see and know, without a shadow of a doubt, who was involved. For example, who knew that Wachovia had a parent company and their parent company was, in fact, slave owners? Who knew that until that research came about and it forced the companies to disclose it. Now, Sister Dietra has about 10 others, including, and I don't want to say too much because she's drafting different suits, but Bank of America. So my point is, we first have to go with the historical information first, and then it enables us to set up the kind of apparatuses that we need to then go into the other areas. So with the Wheat Tribe Genocide, we have 21 points that we're focusing on primarily. There's others, but there's 21 areas that we're charging genocide, including mass incarceration, the prison industrialized complex, including COINTELPRO, including the crack cocaine epidemic. These are all of the areas, or these are some of the areas that we're citing as genocide. But the way the UN is structured, from what we've learned from others, if you do not write that stuff up or present it in a certain kind of way, it just gets stalled. It's just like with H.R. 40, that thing's been sitting for 30 years, you see? And so you have to create certain kinds of steps that get you to where you want to go. So again, the point is, there is modern-day slavery. However, if you do not, at least from my vantage point, if you do not deal with the historical significance or connection, then the present day becomes a lot more complicated. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but, you know, right now with the prison industry and the criminal justice system and this revolving door, and then you have companies that are invested in it, I think it's important to know who they are.
Oh, no doubt. But again, under the context of genocide, so my point is, we know who they are. Okay, so now that we know who they are, then what?
That was my question.
Well,
Then you don't do business with them, but...
Yeah, see, I'm an organizer, my sister, and what I know is this. From being an organizer, people will not respond to certain things unless you have a foundation to work from. And I didn't know that years ago. I thought if people saw certain things that, you know, that, in other words, I thought when people saw 2 million black women, I thought that was enough to motivate, inspire some other things. It wasn't. For most, that was an event, although it was always designed to be a movement. So what I've learned is you've got to create some very solid foundations so that when you're ready to make those next moves, your foundation is so strong that it will enable you to really push some things forward. So for those cities to start with slavery disclosure based on the fact that these people literally took our people and made money off of them, again, a people who do not connect to their history certainly ain't going to look at their future in the same kind of way in terms of advancement. So the first things have to be first. So right now we only have like five cities, not even states. We have maybe 5 to 7 cities that have adopted that kind of legislation. There needs to be, you know, 100, 200 cities, particularly where there's black folks. So it has to start somewhere. That's my point. And then to organize.
Now, how can I help?
Kind of stuff. Oh, there you
what
go.
Can
That's
I do to
what
help?
I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, indeed. And that's what we're going to talk about this week as well. But let's go back to you because I wanted to highlight or talk more about you taking that stand and definitely setting an example of what Brother Mike and others talk about often, and that is being a police person or a person in law enforcement and also knowing and understanding, you know, who you are as a black man, a black woman, and the responsibility in that regard. So let's fast forward for one moment. And how long were you in court in fighting for your pension and fighting for your rights?
Well, it started in 06, and in 08 is when they fired me. And I've been fighting since 08 until this month. So I got a decision this month. So it's been 15 years. So it wasn't quick.
Okay. Right. Yeah. That's, look, we know. I mean, I tell you, and this is what we have to have our people, I think, to have a better understanding about, and that is that, you know, this stuff, unfortunately, takes time. A lot of these things take time. The lawyers, tell us a little bit about the lawyers that helped to bring this about.
Well, the lawyers are at Harvard and Kirkland and Ellis, the law firm, Kirkland and Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually did a collaboration with Iman, which is in Chicago. Rami Nashashibi, he has I don't know if it's a foundation, but it's like a advocacy program there. It's called Iman, where there's like they help recently incarcerated or released people, and they have a clinic, and also they do social advocacy. So
okay, wow.
And then he was linked up with a local singer here, and she was working with me on Cario's Law. So that is how I got the attorney from that connection of the attorneys.
Wow, and one
of the attorneys was the counsel to Obama and co-counsel to Clinton. So I was a very good attorney.
That's funny. Wow, wonderful. All right, well, before we bring our family in to ask some questions or comments, so what now are some of your plans?
Well, my plans is to get Cario's Law on a national level and get the registry on a national level.
Okay.
So that's where I'm going next with it.
Okay, definitely. Well, you know, we're in on that. We definitely want to be a part of that. So we'll be talking more this week about how.
Absolutely.
And with the 25-year anniversary of the Million Woman March coming next year, what I've learned is how to use leverage. It took me a while to understand something. Every year, October is our anniversary every year. This year will mark the 24th year. And so this year we're going to utilize some of that time to get prepared for the 25th, because that's going to be global. We're not only going to be doing stuff here, it will be global, but it'll kick off here for the 24-year anniversary, and now our global movement will be going into full effect. I created something called the Black Print, 25.
Okay.
It was actually 2020 to 25, and I'm saying now the Black Print 25. And it will literally indicate what we have to accomplish by the year 2025. So we'll be releasing that this year, though. We'll be releasing it. So definitely we are on board, best believe, and we will strategize as to how we can get that law on the book in other states, in other cities first, I guess. But certainly, you know, black communities are ready for something. They come up police reform already. So, again, this is so doable.
Good.
Well, I appreciate you having me on your show. I am getting a little tired because it's kind of late, and I really, really appreciate you. And I really appreciate
All right, well, give us five more minutes, my sister. Give us 5 minutes. We got one comment, I think.
Okay,
Sister Nikki, are you there?
Yes,
Sister
I am.
Nikki?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
Right. I wanted our people to understand how deep these things go. As a matter of fact, as a nurse, I get to meet with many of the elders and such. And Monday is Confederate Day. It's a 3-day holiday in Alabama. Do you understand the sickness of our society, while we also have a state that decided they will not slavery out? People have to understand that incarceration is slavery.
Exactly.
When you're working for 9 cents an hour to 99
mm-hmm.
cents,
mm-hmm.
and you have people
right.
that own places like Whole Foods and say, why should I pay those people? Who do you think the CEO is talking about? Why should I pay those people minimum wage when I have
right.
accumulated my billionaire status and so forth, Amazon and so forth, because I have paid 9 cents to 99 cents an hour? I can pay a firefighter $1 an hour. I don't have to pay the fire department. And this is why Mumia does his book, Does Black Lives Really Matter? You know, people have to read and understand the significance of what they're saying. And for that officer to even get 15 years, that Zimmer Beast cracker, after he physically abused not just her, 15 other people. He was a bully, just like the last one that got convicted. And a conviction does not mean a sentence, because we know Peter mm-hmm. Liang not only turned around after killing Akai Gurley, he gets to walk, and he turns around and sues New York City for $50 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know the sickness of the beast? And that's what I wanted to put out there. This is the reason why I have to go out for Mumia and Dr. Mutulu Shakur and Jameel Abdul Alameen and every single one. Because until every single one of them are free, I have to continue. And I want to we must leave a legacy for our great, great, great grandchildren. This is the same condition King and Malcolm dealt with. Nothing changed.
All right, Ms.
on the calendar.
We got one more caller. We have one more caller real quick, and then we're going to let our
Peace,
sister
love,
go.
And life. Thank
caller,
you,
you
time.
Thank you, sister. We're at 8279.
Right.
8279, real quickly, because we want our sister to get her rest. 8279, your mic is open.
Yes, I say peace, Empress. Peace to everyone
Greetings
on the line.
Brother Captain. Okay. All right.
Quick
question
or
comment.
Just sending my love and support from Amir, you know, doing everything on my end, you know, spread the word and what's going on with Amir. So, yeah, that's it.
All right, Brother Captain. Well, you stay right there. I'm going to come back to you and Sister Nikki
okay.
in a few minutes. We want to get our closing comments for Sister Cario. Sister Cario, give us your closing comments for tonight, and I will definitely be contacting you later this week, and you and I will have a strategy session.
Okay, I appreciate that. So moving forward, you can go to cariolaw.com. There,
mm-hmm.
you can sign up so that we can get Cario's Law nationwide, because we don't want another George Floyd to happen. Officers need to have the duty to intervene, and they need to be punished if they don't. And we also need that registry. And also, the police union is part of the problem, so we need to tackle them too.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that
mm-hmm.
happens with Cario's Law.
All right. I love it. Love it. All right, my sister, well, we thank you again. And
thank you.
Again,
I'm sorry.
You and I will be talking. No, no problem. Look, I'm used to these long nights. We did a whole rally today, and I'm still at it tonight, y'all. But I know that's just, you know, some of us can do that. But we'll definitely be in touch later on this week, and we will start mapping out some next steps for the strategies.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah,
thank
have a good
you.
Night.
All right. Thank you, Sister Patricia.
Good night. Peace, love, and light. Black power, everybody.
Okay. Black power. Ultra black power. That's what we say now. Ultra black power.
Ultra black power.
All right, family. All right, family. We're going to go back to Brother Captain and also Sister Nikki. And we, you know, again, in talking about Lumia, but listen, I hope you all got that. You want to go to carryall.com, and that's CARIOL.com. And again, MWM is going to be in full support of making certain that this law is now going to be put into our communities nationwide. And by the way, next month we start our first pre-plebiscite sessions. So certainly this is one of the things that we can begin to vote on, because that's what a plebiscite does. But this is pre-plebiscite stuff. So we're going to introduce the concept, the process of what a plebiscite is and utilize certain things as examples. So this certainly can be one of those things. What does a plebiscite do? It enables a specified group of folks who are on a similar or same page, who have similar or same objectives and goals in terms of how they want to be governed. It enables them to make the decisions that they want to make about their lives. That's what a plebiscite can do. That's what we are getting ready to do, at least the first phases of it. So we call it pre-plebiscite so that our people can get acclimated to what it is, so that when the time comes for us to vote on what we are talking about, people will know how this process works. For example, what do we want to call ourselves? Now, we know we black man, black woman, African man, African woman. But when it's time for us to move forward in obtaining reparatory justice and other things, what are we calling ourselves? That has to be organized. That has to have a structure, realistically. Now, we can think while we want to, but these people, and I know some people say, well, they're going to do that anyway. Well, okay, whatever. But the point being, we want to be well-structured and organized the way we want to be, not the way they're saying, the way we know we need to be, like Dr. Marcus Garvey showed us and others. So, point being, next month, as we pay tribute to El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz and Malcolm X, we will begin to hold pre-plebiscite sessions so that people will know this is what it is, this is what our projections are, and one of those things is going to be, what shall we call ourselves? What do we want to be called as a group of African, black, whatever? But what do we want to be called so that when we move forward, we will be identified in a way that we are unapologetic, we are about African tradition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That stuff needs to be clear, because right now it's not. And this is why we got people running on TV wearing dresses and all this other stuff. And other people think it's okay because there's not a clear voice saying otherwise in a collective group to the degree that it needs to be. There's a few, you know, obviously, but that's not enough. We got to be organized. We have to be a nation. And again, when you understand the concept of a nation, which we're going to talk about in bringing these plebiscites or pre-plebiscite sessions, then you'll see that the concept of an organization, et cetera. Anyway, we'll go into that later. Let's go back to Brother Captain and Sister Nikki. And dealing again, let's talk a little more about Mumia, of course. Now, I heard Brother Captain say he's in full support of Mumia. So this is what I'm now saying, Brother Captain, to all of our people. Now, Sister Nikki came from New York today to be a part of the rally, the energy, the information circulation, the showing of her physical body, so that, you know, people could see that there are people who are concerned. So now, you as a black man, what is it that you, when you say you're about or for Mumia, what does that mean?
That means all the organizations I'm affiliated with that has interest in political prisoners and just in general, just the prison industrial complex, you know what I mean, helping disenfranchised brothers and sisters, bring that awareness, because, I mean, it's still a lot of people that don't know and a lot of people
right.
that didn't know but, you know, forgot. And me talking with a lot of people, they totally out the loop. But more people I have to enlighten them about
okay.
it. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. See, and this is what we're now saying. We have to ask each other, one another, in all truth and reality, what are we really doing? So, Brother Captain, thank you for that. You hit it right on the nose, and that's what we're saying. You know, because I say to people, I send information out almost every day, if not every day. Y'all, some of y'all know that because I be hitting y'all up with all kinds of stuff all day. And so my point is, and I oftentimes ask people, did you pass it on to anybody? One person. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we can't do that. It takes you 2 seconds to pass something on to somebody. So that's what we're saying now, family. We gotta raise the bar, and everybody can do something. Like I was saying to your sister, you know, I'm just one of them people. I'm kind of a workaholic, so you know, I get up, dawn or whatever it is, and sometimes don't go to bed till dawn again. But the point being, everybody can't do that, and that's cool. That's okay. But what can you do? What are you doing? And we've got to now put each other in check on some of that, unfortunately. And as Sister Keisha would say, you know, sometimes people ain't going to want to be around you when you do that. Well, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
This is not a popularity contest. So, Brother Captain, I appreciate that. Thank you for that. I want to go back to Sister Nikki for a minute. Sister Nikki, you said something, and again, I really appreciate what you said, and that is, you know, in your heart and in mind and so forth, you feel that there's a responsibility, particularly when it comes to our political prisoners. And that needs to be real key. Who else in America, so-called the United States, who else is really political prisoners? Right? Now, we know that Lynette Peltier is one from the Native indigenous peoples. But for the most part, who are the political prisoners in the U.S.? Come on, people.
Every single person who has been wrongfully arrested, over-sentenced, we need a national registry to free BLA. For black businesses, SUSUs, our banks, wrongfully arrested, wrongfully accused, UNIA. We need to get the foot off our necks from our oppressors. Afro-Africans that were born from a straight black man, straight black woman, birthed straight black children, guiding the confused from abuse. A nation rises no higher than its woman. A nationwide registry to free all political prisoners. Dr. Matulu Shakur should not be in prison.
No.
We have 70 people that should not be there. And until every last one of them are free and the wrongfully incarcerated, when they see us, that's a movie to put on in queue. And every human being needs to see that. Every single person that wants to make a change. Because it's like a bowel movement. It's time that we all have to have one. It's time to get their foot on it.
I'm going to say this, and again, what I tend now to do is this. When I hear people say, this is what we need to do, it's because that's
what
something,
we do.
And you're right, it is. And so that's where I come in at, because anything that I say we need to do, I'm going to also prevent a possibility, a suggestion, a something as to how. See, this is why when we said We Charge Genocide 21 campaign, it includes the immediate release of our political prisoners. Now, when I said it today, when we went over to the other location down the parkway, I had the sheet in my hand. And I said three things. I said, people are saying BLM, Black Lives Matter. They're saying that, right?
No, that's
Black
Liberation Movement to me. That's
what I said today. I said it was Black Liberation
Movement.
That's what I said, too. Yep, absolutely. But I also said Black life is the matter. Black life is the matter. And the other one that I said today was Mumia life matters. Mumia's life matters. And so I'm going to tell you, so people are looking at me like I came out of Mars or something. And lastly, but I'm saying, see, you have to observe carefully, because when I said to them, here is the form that folks can sign on to that becomes a part of the letter of intent that's going to be taken to the United Nations, I held it up. I had the clipboard. I had the pen. So I spoke for a good 5 minutes or so, and I explained what we were doing, that this was the 70th year of Paul Robeson, that we were continuing the work of Malcolm X, Queen Mother Moore, Dr. Robert Brock, Dr. Jusuf Klee, and Mother Callie House. Note, when I came down off of that stage, how many Black folks do you think came over to me to sign that day?
Not three.
Not three. Not even one. Not even one. See, so here's my point. Now, no, I walked around and you know, went to people myself. But
some,
if I had stood there and just waited, that wasn't going to happen. So my point we can keep saying what needs to happen, but I'm telling you, until we come up with some plans of action, this will still be a conversation. And we cannot do that now. We have to come up with, I don't care. No, we left out of there with some signatures, needless to say. But I'm saying
it's not
we
good,
must,
sir.
Right, we have Every to be city. Diligent. We have to, exactly. And that's what we're doing. I'm going to Chicago. I told Chairman Fred, well, he knows already because he's one of our ambassadors. So we're heading to Chicago. We couldn't do much that we wanted to do yet because of COVID, right? So we couldn't do the boots on the ground piece, but we're starting to gradually get into that. And we're getting ready to do this thing now. But, let me share this with the family.
The same way they have church online, everything else online, Zoom online, they can do this. They can get together. It's leaders. They need 20. Not in just every city, every town, every country, every sidewalk. You know, the
Absolutely.
Same way they have PTA, if you belong to a PTA, you can get it together. If you belong, I don't care what you're doing on your job, anywhere, people look like you, get together. Because the same way they could pass all these bills for everybody else, the same way we can do this, and we've been doing it. And people culturally, culture bandits, are taking up all our mantras, our little sayings, and here we go. And then we got, we have folks that look like us that's picking up everything from everybody else and have done nothing, okay? you know, I don't just show up when the crowd show up. I'm there.
I bear witness.
I'm not just there. Absolutely. I'm in Jersey. I'm here. I'm there. And I ride or die.
That's what I've been doing. Now, let me share with everyone something that, again, we talk about certain things, but you can best believe we are really striving. Here's an example. Next week, we'll be able to share with everyone. Now, you, Sister Nikki, you mentioned how Facebook shut you down. I've been shut down, and I refuse to give them any more of my information. So one of my Facebook things, I haven't been on in like 2 years. It's still there, but they wanted me to give them this. I ain't giving y'all that stuff. It's still there, though, but we have another one. But here's my point. So we made these complaints about Facebook, right? Many of us. Well, guess what?
Yep.
Tune in next week. We got a big surprise for you. The person who is building our site for the We Charge Genocide has also now developed competition for Facebook.
Good.
A brilliant black man that we've been blessed to be acquainted with, who used to work for Verizon, who helped Verizon set up a lot of their systems and some other companies. He has come forward, and I met him, Prince Asiel, thank you. Anyway, point being, he'll be joining us. If not next week, we'll be able to share with you the launching of, I forget what it's called, Black Truth, something like that. I forget what it is. But anyway, it's going to compete with Facebook. And it's all black. So those of you who've been looking for something, it's coming. And the reason why we did not launch the We Charge Genocide to the greater extent that we're getting ready to do now is because I did not want to put it in the color change or the whatever that stuff was. I didn't want people going to that.
That's right.
No.
And
so
I
we helped that.
That's we lead the charge. That's why I had them charged saying we must pardon Marcus Garvey. Everybody looked at me. I said, yeah, free BLA, and, you know, we must do this. Because I'm but a drop in the bucket of rain, okay? And it's raining. It's raining. It's been raining on us to do whatever is necessary. But we have to get these boots off our neck, okay? Because Jim Crow Joe and them, they have just continued what has been going on. So I can't sit here and wait.
That reminds me. Thank you, Sister Nikki. You just reminded me of something.
That's right. Go ahead.
You just reminded me of something. Next week again, we are preparing to put the call out on, hold on 1 minute, but we'll tell you more about it next week. But I can tell you officially, let me give you the date, on May the 7th. On May the 7th, we'll be putting out an official call nationwide. It's named Call to the Black Woman. And the reason why, Sister Keisha knows about this already and a few other folks, Sister Gabrielle, the reason why we're doing this is for several reasons, needless to say, because we operate strategically. So this year, once again, just like Paul Robeson took the petition to the United Nations in 1951, this year also marks the 70th year that a group known as the Sojourners for Truth and Justice was formed. In 1951. Now, what that group did after a poem that was penned by the great Bea Richards, the group decided that they would get black women together and they would demand a meeting with the President of the United States to address the issues of violence and abuse of our women and girls, as well as the overall violence of our people. So they put a call out. It was at that point, 1951, it was the call to the Negro women. They put the call out, and they held a conference. Well, we're doing something very similar.
We're going to put the call out on May the 7th to black women. We plan to have a conference, but our group is called the Sojourners for Truth, Self-Determination, and Reparatory Justice. And we will convene in October. Now, they convened from September the 29th to October the 1st. We're looking to do something similar because it just so happened it falls on the same days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They tried to meet with the president on October 1st. The president refused to meet with them but sent a representative. So we will put the call out on on May the 7th and begin the process of demanding a meeting with President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, to since they said it was black women that really was instrumental in getting them into office. Well, we're saying, okay, we want to know what y'all going to do in terms of reparatory justice, the release of our political prisoners, et cetera. Now, do we expect anything, y'all? I mean, come on now.
No, that's what I was going to come with, because I thought of it. The United Nations is the un-United Nations. They have been, their soldiers have been raping people in Haiti from back when. I mean,
absolutely.
Every which way we go, the way I figure, they get us together to tell our problems and our solutions so they can sabotage it. All they do is sit there and listen in.
We have no faith in that. Sister Nick, listen, strategy. Okay. Understand this.
Understood.
When you can organize something, right, and
you're
then have to be consistent, right, other countries, other groups, other peoples or whatever see that, wait a minute, that's serious. So maybe we can see how we can work together. Be it Venezuela, be it Chile, be it Cuba, be it Ghana, be it whatever. My point is, we have to do some actions that represents being organized, being intelligent, being no nonsense. We've got to do those. No, anything that, for the most part, that we draw from now, it's not existing now. Somebody had to do something that inspired us, that helped us to grow and develop, and so forth and so on. That's all we're talking about. We don't have no great expectations about these people. But what we do have is to leave some legacies that these children that's coming up to say, wait a minute, now, they at least tried to do this. So what are we going to do now? We have to show them something. We can't just keep having these conversations. We have to be able to give history. We have to show and make history. We got to do that. Because that's how I grew, and I'm sure that's how you grew, by reading what the Honorable Marcus Garvey did, by reading what Malcolm X did, by reading what Callie House did, by reading and understanding what Queen Mother Moore did. Even when Queen Mother Moore went to the United Nations and sat on the steps and different things that we heard about, what did that do for us, though? Even though it didn't make no difference to them, but what did that do for us?
Harriet and the Panthers.
I know what it did for me. Right.
And
I know what it did for me.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
I know what the Panthers did for us.
Right. So I'm saying we're not expecting anything from anybody in that way. But we need to look at how can we organize, mobilize, strategize, agitate, educate. How do we do that? And then from that, build, really build. And these are things we have to now do. There's no question about it. And we are. And we are. That's the beautiful thing. And we are. So I just want to put on record, it's not that we have any expectations. No. By making this move that I just said in requesting or demanding a meeting with the President and Vice President of the United States is this. Number one, it's a teachable moment.
Because how many people, I didn't know until 3 years ago that some black women in 1951 took a stand that said, we're going to demand a meeting with the President of the United States to, and bring the issue of violence and abuse of our people. I didn't know that. And then come to find out, who was those women? Not only the great Bea Richards, but what about Shirley Du Bois, W.E.D. Du Bois's wife? What about Queen Mother Moore? Mm-hmm. Yes, she was a part of it. She was a part of this group. You see, so if nothing else, we learn some history. Each one of those women were in totally different arenas, totally different arenas. But they came together and decided that that's what they wanted to do. And that's the point that I'm making. They were in totally different arenas. William Patterson's wife was one of them. She was with the Communist Party. The rest of the women wasn't, but she was. But I'm saying they were able to be them, do them, represent in the way that they wanted to represent, in the way that they did represent, and still have a united front on that issue. Where is it at today? See? That's a hard thing. So we have to try some other things. We have to. And listen, I'm here. Look, somebody got a suggestion or idea that they want to bring to me, come on with it.
Come on with it.
That's all I'm saying.
Miss
Bick,
doing the work too.
Yeah, come on. Look. I ain't trying to have the know it all. I ain't trying to know. Look, you got something? Come on with it. Let's go.
That's right. Every person has different skills. There are certain groups that have certain skills. You know. We all shine.
Come on with it.
We all have our moments, and we all have our situations where we fall back. You know, it is what
it is. Right.
That's my sister shine. I have no problem.
That's right.
There you go. I'll support what's right. Well, I'm going to say good night. Peace, love.
All right, my sister. I thank you, and it was good seeing you today. And, hey, as the family would say, we on the move.
On the move. Until we win.
Hey, even after we win, we're going to be on the move.
That's right. Because Harriet, we have to get redemption. We have to get redemption for all the women that did so much and did not get their just due. I have to do
it
for Harriet.
That's right, no doubt about it, and names that we will never know, but they put the time, the work, the energy, all that in. We're gonna represent that come next year, and so you know we're gonna start giving people a little more insight into how we get ready to move this thing forward. It's been a lot of lessons learned, believe you me, and we've learned them well.
As with both Marcus Garvey's. Miss Marcus Garvey's, as with both of them, they were both queens in their right. You know,
that's right. No doubt. All right, my sister, thank you much. Family, we're going to get ready to close out. We got 10 more minutes left. If there's any questions, comments, thoughts that you'd like to share, we're going to take the last 10 minutes to do that. If there's anyone that was at the rally today, that's with us right now, and you have a few things you might want to share about what you observed or what you thought, certainly we welcome you to do that. And, by the way, I want to remind everyone we plan to be at Malcolm X Park next Saturday, 3 o'clock. I believe we plan to be there. We're going to do a session for the sisters who want to be involved with the Black Women's Defense and Justice League. We're getting ready to start some training sessions for those who want to deal with some self-defense, as well as some other things. If you're not interested in self-defense, that's okay. We want to do classes and sessions that will help you in some other areas. And so we'll be telling you more about that in the very near future as well. But we will be at Malcolm X Park here in Philadelphia, located at 52nd and Pine Street, 3 o'clock next Saturday, May 1st. Also, it'll be a political prisoners teach in and speak out. So we'll have information about political prisoners, how you can write to them, what some of the positions are, what some of the groups are that's working with that issue, and so forth. Brother Captain, I'll make sure that you get that flyer tomorrow, and I know you will circulate it because you're always circulating the stuff. But, again, we will have a political prisoners teach in and speak out next Saturday. So those who are interested in getting involved in any kind of way and working towards freeing Mumia, Dr. Matula Shakur, Sundi Ada Akoli, Iman Jamil Alameen, and others, you will be able to come out next Saturday to get
Edward
information, etc. I'm sorry, say it again, sister.
I said Edward Poindexter.
Edward
I'm naming Panthers as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yep. Pastor Joy.
BMO Tap
yep.
will be live tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Oh,
tell
yes.
somebody, tell
yes,
a friend.
Yes.
Free Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Yes,
we're going to be on there. Go ahead, honey.
Look, how do people join that? Because Dr. McIntosh was supposed to send it to me, and I don't see it. Do you know how people can sign up or listen in or what have you?
It should be on Zoom. It should be on CMOTAP. You send in your email, and you will be on the live to listen in as the doctor, as the political. They also have, it written out how many people have been screwed, more or less. But it's telling you the lawyers that will be on. Brother Michael Warren, lawyers will be on as well as doctors. So they're telling you how much they are violating the amendments, the cruel and unusual punishment for all, not just political prisoners, which is everything that Mumia and the Panthers stood for.
Okay, I got it. He did send it. Dr. James McIntosh is inviting you to a scheduled Zoom meeting. Yep. Let me see. I'm going to give you just a couple of quick numbers, family. Let's see. Dial by your location. You can dial 301-715-8592. Again, 301-715-8592 or 312-626-6799. Again, 312-626-6799. And one more, 646-558-8656. Again, 646-558-8656. If any of you want to listen online, just email me and I will send you the flyer and the other Zoom information. Sister Nikki's right on point. Let me see the time. Hold on, I have the flyer as well.
2 p.m.
Okay. Yep, 2 p.m. Sunday, April 25th. CMOTEP Forum. Is it cruel? Is it unusual? Is it unjust? That's the theme. That's the title. And let's see, Brother Razakon, Sister Pam Africa. Again, as Sister Nikki said, Tariq Warren. Got some really, really good folks here. So, again, that's tomorrow at 2 o'clock. If you want to RSVP, you can do so at 347-907-0629. Again, to RSVP, you can call 347-907-0629. Again, that's 2 o'clock tomorrow, April 25th. It's going to be a wonderful forum.
All right, family. We're going to get ready to close this session.
Al, thank you, sister. You see, that was on point. And we move forward. What can we say? So we are going to get ready to leave you. We're going to leave you as we often do in the spirit of Ma'adenhotep. And remember, anybody can say justice, and they do. However, there's only some who will say Ma'atik justice. And so we are learning to really make certain that we identify who and what we're talking about. So with that said, I'm going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'adenhotep. But remember, there will never be any real peace until there is Ma'atik justice. Because what we say, if there's no justice, there's no what, Sister Nikki, Brother Captain?
No peace.
No peace.
No peace. That's right. All right, family, we're going to close out. Before we do, I want to remind you again, Thorough Black Talk. Every Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m. Of course, Brother Mike, you can catch Community Cop anytime. The latest edition is there. You can just go to YouTube, put in Community Cop. And I haven't got a chance to see it yet. Now that this weekend is kind of over with the Mumia stuff, I'll be checking it out, if not tonight, tomorrow. Also, Brother Lee, Africa on the Move, you can catch him at 7 o'clock at Blog Talk Radio, Africa on the Move. And what can I say, family? We are getting ready to gear up the Blackation Network. We'll be hearing more about that. This is our 13-year anniversary, so we're going to do a special edition later this week. In fact, probably, well, I know I need to do a special report at the Monday's press conference. So somewhere between Monday and Tuesday, we'll do a special edition. But we want to make sure we get information to you before we close out in April. Because, again, this is our 13-year anniversary, and we're getting ready to establish some things that we want folks to be able to be involved with. So that's it, family. We thank you all again. Certainly appreciate all that everyone is doing. No matter what it is, as long as it's, if it's really about African Black liberation, we certainly thank you for all that you are doing. Until the next time, we say free Mumia now.
Abu Jamal.
Free Mumia Abu Jamal now. All right, family.
Free Mumia Abu Jamal now.
Yes. Talk to you next week. Two times.
Have a blessed night.
Thank you.